Mitch Stark, 4 for Josh Hazlewood, 3 for Mitch Marsh, 9 overs done for 43. So you're there to bowl a few overs as well, and he probably, you know, they went after him a little bit. On what's a very flat wicket, we understand that. But in reply, Australia 4 for 549. Steve Smith, 229 not out, and we don't think there's been a missed stroke in there.
What a player.
And Mitch Marsh, 181. So it's a triumphant return for Mitch Marsh. Steve Smith didn't go anywhere. Certainly hasn't for the last 4 years. 4 years in a row now, he's scored 1,000-plus test runs in the calendar year. There's only one player that's done it more consecutive years, and that's Matthew Hayden, 5 years. But no one's done it at the average that Steve Smith has done it at, and that's over 60. And if you look at his time as captain, the average, what he's averaging as time in his time as captain of the Australian side, 73. So when we say best since Bradman, it's been said about a lot of batsmen over the years. I think the stats are compelling.
Who's a better player, Smith or Coley?
Who would you, yeah, if you had to pick someone to bat for your team or bat for your life, who would you go?
Virat Kohli? Steve Smith. All bias aside, I'd go Steve Smith.
Yeah, well.
Because I think he can bat on any track, any conditions, any bowling attack.
Well, Virat Kohli's had success out here in Australia as well. Not to the level that he's had, obviously, on
he's
the subcontinent.
Very dominant on the subcontinent.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still a great player elsewhere, but Steve Smith can play anywhere.
Look, I don't know why Niff Nuffies like you and I are making a comment
let's
on this.
Go to the
why
experts.
Don't we actually get to someone who actually knows what they're talking about? And that's Mark Edward War. G'day, Mark.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, who's, morning, who's batting for your life? Kohli or Smith?
I'm going Smith, yeah. I mean, Kohli's a great player, but I reckon the next 12 months we'll see how good Kohli is, because I think India have got to play England, South Africa and Australia overseas, and if he can knock up some runs there, then, you know, I'll say he's not far off Smithy. But I think at the moment, you're right, I think Steve Smith in all conditions is probably the number one player in the world at the moment, for sure.
It was amazing yesterday, wasn't he, Mark? I only got home to see the last session when he and Mitchell Marsh were batting together, but
yep.
He's batted all day. As Jimmy said, he's hardly played a false stroke in this entire innings, and he just takes the rest of the team along this journey with him, just like he did in Brisbane.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's so competitive, and he's hunger for runs. He just wants to keep batting and batting, which, you know, stands him out from everybody else. You know, he just never gives his wicket away. He adapts to the conditions. If he's got to score quick or he's got to dig in, he can do that. And, yeah, he's leading by example. When your captain's batting like that, it does definitely drag along the other players. And Mitch Marsh, I mean, yesterday that was a prime example. He sort of got in the slipstream of Smithy, and they just put on a great partnership effortlessly. So, yeah, he's just in a great vein of form. I mean, he's so unorthodox. I don't think that the bowlers know where to bowl to, Steve. Yeah. They're not quite sure where his weaknesses is, if he's got one at all. But, no, he's just going from strength to strength.
And look, I've met him a couple of times, and he seems like a very genuine young fellow too. You never know, really, unless you know them much better than that. The great thing from my point of view, when I look at him from a distance, Mark, he seems completely unaffected by it all. Is that the way he is?
Yeah, well, while we're winning, he's unaffected. Yeah, when you start losing and you're captain, that's when it gets tough. But I think he's obviously a genuine guy. He's a pretty simple guy. He loves his horse racing, actually.
He does.
You know, I think the captaincy, you sort of grow into the role. You get used to the commitments you've got with the media and the scrutiny, which is never easy. You know, I think he's learning all the time as a leader and a captain. I mean, he's got great respect from his players, which is the most important thing. And he reads the game well. He's a good tactician as well. And I think as the years get on, he'll get better as a captain. And he's just, you know, he's a great leader at the moment, leading by example on the field.
Mm. Mark, what do you think Steve Smith's read will be on today's play? 146 runs in front, 2 days to go. There is some weather coming, apparently, some rain forecast for Perth later today. How long does Steve Smith bat for in this first session?
Well, you know, I was just looking at the weather forecast before. It's only 20 degrees in Perth, which is unheard of this time of year. And there's storms and showers forecast for the last 2 days, as you mentioned. So I think that's got to come into play. I think this morning, or the first session, obviously, Mitch Marsh he's close to 200. So, you know, once he gets to 200, and I just think they've got to score as quickly as they can. It doesn't even matter if you get bowled out for another 130 runs. You're nearly 300 in front. And so I just think they've got to be very proactive with the bat, score quickly, and then get England back in there and give themselves enough time to win this game, particularly with the weather around. I think the pitch Whilst it's been a batting pitch so far, there are some cracks in it, and you get, you know, our boys bowling 145 k's. You know, 6 foot seven guys. There's going to be, you know, chances to get wickets. So we need to progress the game a bit quicker, I reckon, in the first session, and go from there.
How good are you blokes going, the selectors? I mean, this is easy, isn't it? Like Sean Marsh, yeah, Tim Payne. Yeah. When you put your invoices in every month, if I was you, I'd be saying, look, looking for a little bonus here. Because Mitch Marsh, and there's a lot of factors that work in his favour. The fact that it was a flat test, the fact that they're in a 2-0 position, that they are on top. He goes home, but it's all worked out for him. And he made the most of his opportunity, Mark.
Well, that's what it's all about. I mean, when you pick someone, it's all about making the most of your opportunities. And look, we know Mitch Marsh has had talent for a long time. Really, both the Marsh brothers have copped a lot of stick in the media and social media and just from general cricket fans. I don't know why every time we pick them, there's always a big question mark. But look, Mitch has always had the talent. I think it's just been a mental thing for him, getting that first 100 under his belt and just relaxing a bit. Same with Sean.
Yep.
You know what it's like at the top level when everyone's watching you, you sort of tense up a bit and, you know, you try too hard sometimes. I think they're both relaxing now. And this 180 hopefully goes on to be 200 or just be a real, you know, moment in his career where he says, you know, I'm good enough and I can relax a bit more now. So he's got the talent. I mean, as a selector, you know, you live and die by your selections, but at the end of the day, once you pick someone and they walk on the field, you've got no control over what happens. So at the moment, I'd say we've had a pretty good summer with the selection so far. I mean, Tim Payne's been excellent. Marsh, Bancroft batted beautifully in Brisbane. He'd like another score now, but he's showed great signs as well. So there's been a few unlucky players to miss out. Obviously, Pete Hanscom in this game, but you know, you've got to pick the team you think's going to win you the game. So sometimes tough calls have to be made, and when the players come in and do well, it's obviously satisfying.
Yeah, no, he's batted beautifully. Mark, put yourself in the England camp. I know it's heresy to say, but put yourself in the English camp.
I'd rather poke myself in the eye.
I'm with you, I know. But if you're an England player, how do you approach today? How do you approach tomorrow? How do you approach the rest of the series?
Well, they've got to have just pride in their performance. They've looked a bit flat, to be honest, the last couple of days. And yesterday morning, they were still right in the game.
Absolutely.
I think they're out of the game now. I just can't see them getting back from here. They're just gotta have a lot more energy and, you know, and just a lot more self-belief probably. They look a bit fragmented and a bit tired at the moment. You know, there's been a few good individual performances so far on the tour, but I mean, they're lacking a bit of strike power with the ball. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah,
I mean,
Ben Stokes' massive loss, isn't it?
Yeah, he's been huge. They've really missed his batting and his bowling. I mean, a few of their senior players look a bit down and out, like Alistair Cook and Stuart Broad, which is not good. I mean, they're the sort of guys you want leading the way, but I think Broad's been pretty ordinary with the ball. Anderson's tried hard, but they've just got to get in there, dig in and show a bit more energy. I mean, obviously they can still save this test match, and if they do, then they can still draw the series. So that's probably their aim, but you know, I think that the back's against the walls for the Poms.
We were talking a little bit earlier about Steve Smith and his average over the course of the last couple of years, and the fact that he doesn't have to face the Australian bowling attack, because we could probably agree that it's the best in the world. And we were saying, oh, well, you could say the same about Viv Richards because he didn't have to face the West Indies attack, etc. And so when we knew you were coming on, a listener said, well, ask Mark Waugh how he went against Warney and McGrath in the nets. Now, I remember you had a very good record at first class level against Warney because you were one of the guys, perhaps the only guy, who would attack Shane Warne.
Yeah, well, the nets doesn't count for much. So
no, that's true.
Relevant, but yeah, look, I never obviously played against Glenn McGrath apart from a club game. He actually hit me on the head when he was playing for Sutherland against Bankstown.
He pinned you?
Yeah, he pinned me on the head. He's bowling down breeze at Carrangbar, and he hit me in the head off the top of the lid. But that was the only time I played Pigeon. I actually played him in a grade final as well. But Warney, no, I used to love playing Warney, actually. I did pretty well against Warney. His record at Shield level was nowhere near as good as first class test level. I think, you know, you had to put a bit of pressure on Warney and, you know, play his game, sort of, you know, get him a bit flustered. He had a bit of a temperament that could get a bit flustered if you put some pressure on him. So I really enjoyed playing against Warney. So smacked him everywhere, I think.
Actually,
got a good 100 in Sydney against New South Wales versus Victoria. So But I mean, with the Steve Smith thing, yeah, of course he doesn't have to play his own bowlers. But I mean, his record's phenomenal. So
against all attacks,
I don't think it'd matter. I mean, he can only do it against the opposition that's in front of you, and he's doing it pretty well at the moment.
Absolutely. Hey, good day for you yesterday, Mark, because I said to Jimmy earlier, the best win of the day at Randwick yesterday was the horse in the last, your part own Uptown Lad. I still don't know how he won that race.
Yeah, it was a great win. I mean, the barrier was always going to be awkward for him. And I said to John Van Overmeer before the race, if you're three wide with cover, that'd be fine. That'd be perfect. But when he was back last and then he sort of made a move at the 1,000, you know, by himself, he just sort of eased up three and four wide and he's without cover. I thought, geez, he's going to have to make a long run here with no cover. So it shows you how good the horse is going. I think you're right, Ray. It was definitely the win of the day. Like, to be stuck out four and five wide making a long run and then have the audacity to sort of sprint clear and hold on. You know, he's such a talent, that horse. He's a big striding horse, a big, you know, scopey sort of horse. And that was, you know, his last two wins have been outstanding, really.
Yep.
And he's just going through his grades, and he's lightly raced. So we'll set him, I think Kim's going to set him for the provincial championship. So he'll have to have a couple of weeks off, and then we'll bring him back for the heats, I think, in early March. And then hopefully the final. So he might even be better than that sort of class of horse, I think, down the track. But, I mean, that series, the prize money is just too good.
I
mean, it's a restricted race as well. So be a good series for him.
Did you get on this time? I think you missed him last time, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I missed him last time because I was in Adelaide, obviously, and the track was downgraded. I wasn't as confident when it went to a heavy eight. But yesterday I did, actually. I backed him Friday night, and then again at the track. I was surprised he wasn't actually favourite, to be honest. I know it's easy to say after the event, but I think he opened up $8 or something, and I was surprised he was that good a price. And I know Paul Joyce was very keen on him, the form expert on Sky Channel, and I'll end up backing him. Yeah, doubled up again at the track, Jimmy, so it was all good.
Oh, how good's that? So you're picking winners at the track, and you're picking winners at the Wacker. So,
well, you got to make hay while the sun shines, mate. Sport changes around very quickly, doesn't it? You know, also, you got to make the most of it when you're going well, and you got to gloat about it a bit too, don't you?
I just wish the sun would shine at some stage. But anyway,
you'd be right.
We'll be right. Hey, great to have a chat this morning, Mark. Well done on Uptown Lad. Well done on Mitch Marsh, etc. And appreciate your time on a Sunday morning.
Okay, thanks, boys.